You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit bpn.fm to discover more.
Hey, everybody. I'm Joe Iconis.
And I'm Jennifer Ashley Tepper.
And on today's show, we're going to be talking about Play the Princess, which is a song that I wrote that's about theater and art and music and society's perception of us and the boxes that society places us in. And also, it was cut from my musical Blood Song of Love.
Who doesn't love a cut song? Cut songs are like the secret gems of musical theater. And this one is performed by the great Destiny Ray and L. Morgan Lee. So killer duet. Everyone's going to want to hear this one.
Do it.
I'm not surprised, no, not surprised. See it every day of my life. And I'm playing the whore and the wife.
Play the Princess. So this is a song that sort of is cut from a musical of yours.
It was, like, Truly. I don't have a lot of those. I feel like I don't have a lot of, like, proper chunk songs. Or I don't have a lot of ones that can be performed outside the musical, because when I write a song for musical, it tends to be so deliriously, like, specific, you know, that you can't really take it out of the musical. But this one, you sure can.
Yeah.
And so this was originally written for Blood Song of Love. And what happened was that Blood Song of Love is, in its current form, or the form that it, you know, arrived at Ars Nova, is a musical that is a rock and roll spaghetti western musical. And it's about this man who's known only as the musician, and his wife, Santa Violeta, has been kidnapped, and he's trying to get her back. And it's sort of this this show about a quest and finding your tribe and following your heart and all this kind of stuff that operates fully in the world of spaghetti westerns. Mm-hmm. Initially, my conception of the show was it was half that, the spaghetti western musical, and then half the story of the actual actors who were putting on this musical. And the conceit was that it was this this group of actors who were performing this show called Blood Song of Love in this theater that was going to be torn down tomorrow. And they were all at different places in their lives and sort of coming to terms with if they wanted to continue making theater, continue to be in the world of art, or do other things, or sell out, or all this stuff, and their personal troubles or their personal issues were sort of explored in this spaghetti western that they were putting on. So It was telling these two different stories. And so, as I was in development at Ars Nova with it, you know, we did a few readings. And then at a certain point, Ars Nova, who really amazing, Jason Egan and Emily Schultz, they were the sort of, you know, creative forces there who were working with myself and director John Simpkins on the show. And they basically said, look, we really like the spaghetti western stuff, and we don't quite like as much all the other stuff. You know, they were like, this half of the musical is right on. And initially I was like, this is garbage. This is, you know, this is what I want to do. I'm an artist and I want to tell the story of the people and all that. But what they said, which was so correct, was that we think you can tell all the stuff you want to tell about the actual people, all the stuff you want to say about art and about sticking together, you can do it through the spaghetti western musical. Mm-hmm. And so I rewrote the show, and I was able to say all the things I wanted to say. And of course, it was 10 million times better, and it felt 10 million times more authentic to write a spaghetti western musical than to, like, have it be half and half. But the casualty of all of that was this song, Play the Princess, which I tried to make work in the context of the spaghetti western musical, but I just couldn't, because it is so explicitly about actors, about female actors. Mm-hmm. And it made perfect sense in the world of, you know, actors putting on a musical, and it just did not make sense in the world of, like, you know, spaghetti western cowboys and murderous prostitutes and all that. It just wasn't jiving.
Was it, so a few things. Did it always have the title Blood Song of Love? Did it have a different subtitle or title when it was the original version?
So it was always called the Untitled Spaghetti Western Project. And then it was, it was always called that. And so I never really knew what I was gonna call the whole thing. And then the musical they were doing was called Blood Song of Love. And it was in the context of the original piece, Blood Song of Love was adapted from an Italian spaghetti western by Dario Donati, I think was the name I made up, right? But I made it up. And so I always, and I actually now regret not doing this, but I always thought it would be fun to pretend that Blood Song of Love was based on an old spaghetti western made by a director who I'd created. And I regret not doing it. Mm-hmm. I actually think the show might have been received slightly better
with that
in some
lens.
Ways if it was a lie adaptation. Yeah,
that's interesting.
Yeah, well, I still might do that for something. So
I also think I never thought of that as being like if you get to do Bloodsung again, which hopefully you will, that would be a really cool revision.
Yeah. I'm just gonna do it. I'm just gonna say it's based on something.
Was there other cut material that was like a full songs? Like, were there full songs that were cut? And also, it was the same exact actors, right?
It was the same exact actors, and so the actors played themselves in the other half, right? And so like we'll call it the backstage half. So the backstage half, it was Jason, MK, Katrina, Jeremy, all those people. The one exception was Eric William Morris. In the backstage half, played a character named Christian. Oh my God, I forgot his last name.
I'm gonna pretend I'm not upset about this, but like, do I even have a recording of this? I definitely saw it once, but it was before the age when I was like saving copies of everything you did. I hope that you have a recording of it somewhere.
I have a bootleg recording of it, yeah. I haven't thought about it in so long, but the conceit of it was that it was all these actors, and then Jason was supposed to play the musician, and the theater made Christian play it because he was famous. He was like a famous musical theater person. And Lance, his story was that he was contemplating whether or not to leave the troupe because he was just cast in Iron Man the musical. Because it was like right after the Spider-Man time. And that was his like struggle, and everyone, you know, and it was his the main headbutting thing was him and Jason, and Jason was like, how could you sell out? How could you not want to make our art, you know, in our shitty downtown theaters, and you want to go be in this big, you know, sellout Broadway musical?
So there were other songs.
So there was the name of their. Of their theater troupe essentially was the Jamboree. And so there was a song called I Believe, and the chorus was, I believe, oh, I believe, oh, I believe in Jamboree.
I remember this now.
And so, yeah, so it was like this other opening number. Another song that I wrote for the show that would have been in the Spaghetti Western world, but ended up being cut because the character never really made it past the song, was Girl, Your Days Are Numbered,
right,
which we've done in concert a little bit. It's a kind of strange, like, country rock song. And the idea behind that song was that the musician and Banana get captured by this like lunatic who's gonna grind their face up with a washboard. It's like a sharpened washboard. Huh. He's gonna grind their face and they get out of it. And he was singing to them by singing Girl, Your Days Are Numbered. Yeah, I think those are the only ones that got sliced.
I'm surprised that I Believe in Jamboree has never made it into like the beginning of a concert or something.
Yeah, I know. I have to revisit it. It was one that was kind of cut, and it kind of could be taken out. I don't know why I haven't come back.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater. SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. Suf's The Original New Musical from Shayna Taub is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
So Play the Princess is sung by the original cast members, Katrina, Rose Diedrichsen, and M.K. Mm-hmm. Lawson.
Yes.
Do you want to talk about the performance on the album?
Yeah, the performance on the album is, it's the great Destiny Ray and L. Morgan Lee. Mm-hmm. And Destiny is an actor who I've worked with several times, and I just think she's great. She's just incredible. Her voice is so stunning, and she's so weird. She's weird in the best way, in the way that, you know...
Weirdo in the good way.
Yes. And I love that she, like many of the actors who I love, either as, you know, just as a fan or as a collaborator, you can't put her in a box. Mm-hmm. You know, she's not a type, which is something that probably has been unhelpful to her insofar as, like, you know, her professional life. But it's something that I think it is such an asset, because she's, you know, she's not this and she's not this and she's not this, because what she is a human being, and she's, you know, like so many things. And sort of similarly with L. Morgan, who I'd been a fan of for years, obviously from her work in Strange Loop and other things, and have just always wanted to work with her. And I thought she would be a really great partner for Destiny in the song. But L. Morgan also is kind of like typeless, mm-hmm. you know? And I really like the idea of having these two actors who do not fulfill the role of, you know, like the princess or the sidekick, mm-hmm. Singing about how they feel like they do. Because I think mm-hmm. I think that's really what the song is. You know, it's like two women who feel like, why does she get to do that? Why does she get to do that? I wish I was that. I wish I was that. When in fact they both are just as, you know, traditional as the other one, and both just as non-traditional as the other one. You know,
yeah,
it's
totally.
Like, it's, yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. I hope that we get the chance to see Destiny and L. Morgan do it live at some point.
I know, me too. And they're, you know, the vocals are so, like, they're just gorgeous. They're so nuts, and the two of them, I think, sound so beautiful together. And you know, something, it's obviously I wrote the song a long time ago, and I like it, but it always, you know, I never want it to feel like catty. You know, I feel like a lot of times when you have, you know, in musical theater, especially when there's a song with two women and they're singing about the business or something, mm-hmm. there's always this sense of, like, you know, it's like the anything you can do, I can do better,
sure.
which is not a song for two women, but it's that kind of, like, you know, if you have a song with two women, they're competitive.
Yeah.
And it's not that. And it's, so it, you know, and it really feels like it's, they're not fighting with each other. They're fighting with themselves, and they're fighting with what they think is the perception of them.
Totally.
You know? They're fighting with the image that's been placed on them. And so I wanted that to come across in the song, and I think that their performances just do that.
Yeah.
You know, there's no sense of, like, I'm going to outdo you vocally or whatever with it. It really feels like these are two women who are struggling with something, you know, in and of themselves, and they just happen to fit together. And I'd hope that, like, you know, them sounding so gorgeous together helps helps get across the point that they're actually not in competition. They're right. just, you know, they're feeling the same thing.
Right.
You know?
They can both do lots of things.
Yeah, they're in yeah. harmony.
Play the princess.
Play the princess.
Hey, thanks so much for listening or watching to my podcast. Do me a favor and go to wherever you just listen to or watch this thing and subscribe or like or give us a great rating or review, and then head to bpn.fm/album to find out even more information about this podcast, more ways to watch, more ways to listen, and check out my album, Album. Thanks so much for hanging out.
Album Podcast is executive produced by Liz Armstrong, produced by Dori Berenstein, Alan Seals, Kim Garris, and the rest of the team at the Broadway Podcast Network. Be sure to visit bpn.fm/album for both audio and video versions of this podcast and to listen to Album.
Hey everybody, I'm Joe Iconis.
And I'm Jennifer Ashley Tepper.
And on today's show, we're going to be talking about Play the Princess, which is a song that I wrote that's about theater and music and society's perception of, society. Great.
Society. That sounds like a great new word, society. Come on. That's like relevant.
Yeah, I should remember that and put it in a post or on a t-shirt or something. Society. Or it's like a good, it's a good drag king name.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.